Storybook Documentary Theater is a documentary theater project based in the Hudson Valley, founded by Mary Stuart Masterson and Jeremy Davidson. Stories are inspired by transcribed conversations with the people in local communities, historical documents, and other primary sources, focusing on the social, political, environmental, and medical issues we face. The stories are brought to life by actors in multimedia stage readings. The Face of It, a new series of three one-act documentary plays presented by Storyhorse, will be performed November 9th through the 11th at Hudson Hall. The three plays, The Call of the Sasquatch, The Wait, and In Her Shoes, all of this part of the performance November 9th through the 11th at Hudson Hall. It is a great pleasure to welcome Mary Stuart Masterson and Jeremy Davidson to the roundtable.
Thank you for having us. Delight to have you both here.
Thank you for having us. Nice to see you in the flesh.
Well, thank you very much. So give us a sense of how this Storyhorse documentary theater came to be in the first place.
Well, Storyhorse is really an ongoing project. You said that we do collect stories and transcribe them. Jeremy basically spends as long as it takes. In this case, some of these stories originated from conversations and interviews 4 years ago, and some are far more recent. And then they evolve into these narratives from a really arduous editorial and writing process that Jeremy undertakes. And then I end up directing the actors and also working primarily on the environmental design of projected images and soundscapes and so forth with the designers.
As far as the mission statement, to have this come from conversations, to have this come from archives, what was the why did you want that, and does that ever box you in any way?
Well, I feel like people are the best tellers of their own stories. The details, the nuance of language and so forth is inarguable. When somebody says, "This is my experience," you can't say that it isn't. And right now we're living in such crazy uncertain times that I think people speaking for themselves is far more compelling sometimes than what our opinion might be about a given issue.
I will also say it's a good question, because I think as we're actors and filmmakers, but the purpose of a story, why are we choosing to tell a story, and are we the right people to try to tell that story? Those are really important questions for us to answer, I think. And by trying to approach local stories, to me, it holds us to it's more dangerous in a way, because we know these people. They're our neighbors. They're our farmers. They are people we see at the grocery store. But we all have amazing stories to tell. And the people in these stories that we're presenting next weekend at Hudson Hall, they have real magic in their journeys that they were super courageous to share with us. And I think it there's a vitality and a danger to that I enjoy. It holds me to something higher, I think.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, community theater in a good way, where the community and the stories come out of the community and brought to the community.
Yeah, they're pulled from the community and shared back with the community.
Because we don't hear that term of documentary play a lot, and I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, and we look at these in a certain way as conversations. They are plays. There's a narrative there, but we've chosen to do these as concerts, really, because there's a fragility to us all being in the same space at the same time. It's there and then it's gone. And we think it's important for us to gather and listen to each other. And the people who've shared these stories with us, we think deserve that.
It's a fragility, and it's also this sort of lightning in a bottle moment. It's unique. That's why we don't film them. And these particular stories, sometimes the stories we collect will sort of will ruminate, and we'll think about what is the purpose of this story, what theme are we hitting this time, or what issue are we sort of opening a conversation about. And in this case, these are three separate stories that are have been curated into one evening that might sound disparate, but also are all ultimately about stories of identity and faith in uncertain times. So, you know, Sasquatch, you might giggle, but the story of the Sasquatch really has more to do with, you know, meditation on nature, seeking a kind of relationship and an understanding of your spiritual identity. In Her Shoes is more a search for gender identity. And the story of The Weight is more a story of a nationality, an identity having to do with what country you live in and where you belong in the world and to whom you belong. But they're all thematically connected by the search for love and faith against uncertainty.
So if I ask the question of who is the playwright of any one of these, then that's a rather complex
Somewhat. Well, I mean, it's Jeremy, but
yeah, I'm the playwright. It's so interesting because when someone tells you their story and it's in their own words and it's a very moving story, you're so aware of the courage it takes for them to share what they are sharing with you. Then you take that same story, and if you read it, it's going to affect you in a different way. And then we remove it even a third time from that by bringing actors on to share someone else's words. And you experience the story in a wholly different way.
I'll tell you something. They're heavily edited, and we don't seek the approval of the people that we interview until they're finished, because they are so... a piece of raw material is so incredibly affected by its context. And so we wait and then let them review the finished work before they give us their approval. And so it is very much written and yep. curated, but...
But they'll come and hear someone else...
But in their own
...playing
words.
them, and watch an actor being them on stage.
And what's that like?
Because
I think that would be freaky.
We do spend a lot of time. We spend a lot of time trying to cast these to try to capture the essence of a person. But part of the magic of Story Horse, we hope, is recognizing that these stories are shared, and there's something universal about our experience here that when we tap into it, empowering.
Oddly, sometimes, you know, we don't play the, and the interviews that we collect are audio solely.
Right.
And so we don't say to the actors, here, study this voice or this is the cadence, because people, if their words are transcribed in their own vernacular, it just translates automatically and goes through the filter of that person's authentic self. And somehow, sometimes they end up so much like the subject, though they have no connection to the subject directly. They've never heard an interview or met the person until after they perform.
And we have a remarkable cast. Tony Award winners Mary Louise Wilson and Marianne Plunkett are coming to join us. Samantha Mathis, Margaret Collin, Joey Collins, Hiram Delgado, Jim Rakita, and Julia Rock. And we're so grateful to Hudson Hall, Tamara Dillon, and Sage Carter, and also Gary Shiro when he was there. They supported this project so much in its early stages, and it's really nice to finally be able to bring our
stories
there.
And what they've done up there with the Hudson Opera House, turning it into the Hudson Hall. Gary Shiro is such an inspiration, taking performing and fine arts and using it as a means to connect with community. And really, that is a lot of what we're doing. So I feel like it's a really good fit for our work to be in their space.
And Tamara's continued that, and it's just been really nice to work with them.
The Face of It is a new series of 3 one-act documentary plays, The Call of the Sasquatch, The Weight, and In Her Shoes, presented by Story Horse Documentary Theater, being performed November 9th through the 11th at Hudson Hall. Jeremy Davidson and Mary Stuart Masterson are our guests this morning. Jeremy, you mentioned a moment ago about the casting and very careful in the casting for these conversations. You just mentioned the wonderful cast that you have. So talk a little bit about that process and matching those voices up.
So we've workshopped these. We live in Hudson Valley full time. We live and there's amazing actors and artists around us. And so we workshop these at our home, in our barn, and then as we're developing them, obviously there's always actors we have in mind who seem like their spirits might match and mesh well with the person whose story it is. But because we do these typically is over one weekend. You never know who's available to come join us to do them. But I love this part of it because for other pieces that we've done, we've had completely different casts, and you do see how someone's own spirit fills a story in its own way and makes it unique, and you see other colors each time it's done. And so, you know, we've taken a long time, and fortunately this cast is, they're very generous to come join us, and they all have incredible careers themselves. So we're excited. They'll come in and they'll read through it once or twice. And our designers have been working with Mary Stewart for the last few months on building the design. And the actors essentially just step into it and perform it as a concert.
It's interesting because when you're doing a reading from an acting standpoint, it's kind of awful if you rehearse too much. It's kind of awful. You get past your first impulse and sort of the surprise of, oh, here's this person and we're having this moment. And you get into this awful kind of thinking too much place. So we try to prevent that by getting whoever is willing to sit in the chairs and move around during tech to do with a dry tech, you know, some people that aren't in it. And then we bring the actors in on the day, and they work together basically half the day, and then they're in front of an audience from then on. And it's sort of wonderful because it's live.
And
it is live
theater.
And seeing
them discover the story as well.
And what happens behind the screen and in the room is an environment that they're experiencing live. So there's this terrific sense of immediacy, both for the audience and also for the performers.
So for two of you, when you were doing plays and musicals, did you ever look at one each other and say, oh, this is too much rehearsal? I know you've had stints at Williamstown. I've never heard anyone there say, oh, God, this is just too,
too
much.
Two
weeks? Come on.
Listen, that's in this true. Case, they do have the script in front of them.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yes. So if you are performing a piece without a script, more rehearsals better.
And it is important to say that there is a, these are meant to be listened to.
Yes.
The stories themselves are powerful enough, we hope, and that's been our experience, that the words that these people have shared and their journeys are powerful enough, and it's about the story more so than performance. We're fortunate to have these incredible performers sharing it in the moment, but it is about the stories and the people who shared them, so we like to focus on
that. But it's true that an actor, the right actor, matched with the right role, in a sort of, it's not a cold reading, but it is it is a very early stage, let's say, is a very exciting thing to get to witness. And an actor who's really, really, really good is capable of being very in the moment. And so we have pretty high standards as to the talent level that we get, because it's even more important that they be good in the moment.
But a conversation is an immediate thing.
Yeah.
And is a very, it's not rehearsed, obviously.
Right.
And it's very raw and,
like this.
And intimate, correct. And so that would only make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you would have that.
Yeah. And
or want that. Ultimately.
And in fact, it goes the other way. There have been stories we've done with the same cast a few times, and you do see the third time they've done it, they are in that in-between stage where they know it a little too well, and maybe they're ahead of their impulse a little bit. And that's just the nature of being an actor. But we just love, we've gotten a lot out of this project because the people around the Hudson Valley, we all know, it's an extraordinary place to live. And I think part of that has to do with the way the land feeds us and that we are held by it in a certain way. And the stories are that way as well.
And there's quite a few projects that have to do with community and everything local. And I think that the more specific you are, the more universal a story becomes. And so these stories actually have reach, even though they seem sort of narrow in scope.
So let's speak a bit about the projection and design that you've been working on and why that's such an important aspect in telling these particular stories.
It's interesting because they can work without it. But I think for a larger room, it really, really helps to have a sense of texture and atmosphere, a sense of, you know, place from the screen. In this case, there'll be a cyclorama. Sometimes we've used actual monitors, depending on the spaces we've been in. We've been in Murray's in Tivoli. We've been at BAM in New York City. We've been at Bard Fisher Center. So,
and we've been in a barn in Red Hook.
Yeah, it just all depends. But we just think it lends a certain dimension and allows you as an audience to surrender to the experience fully and allow your imagination to go. Mostly it's just another dimension, and not literally part of the story in the sense of the Ken Burns you know, documentary.
Sure.
Though there sometimes are images that are documentary images you really need to fully go on the ride. But we had a piece that was called The Kept Private that was about slavery and race in Dutchess County. And that was more, it was a historical piece. And that one we did with the full design. And we also did it in a church in Milan where the story took place. And that had that just had actors reading the stage directions. And it just had actors reading.
But
and
the
it was
purpose
a tremendous
was strong
exchange.
Enough. I think when the purpose for a story being told is strong enough, it holds the story, the weight that a full production can hold. And the thing about a conversation, when we look at these as conversations, and we empower the audience a little more that way. We did a piece in the spring about a cold murder case in our town, a surveyor who had been shot through a window, and it's remained unsolved. But the best thing about it was the people who came were not typical theater goers. And there were people who lived in the community for years and years, and the story held great meaning to them, and so they wanted to come and be a part of that conversation. And it was an incredible thing because, you know, we do plays, or we've been fortunate enough to do plays in New York, and often that's a very privileged audience. Theater's expensive. And
but this is very affordable. Go to storyhorsedocumentarytheater.org.
But I think...
thanks. That was easy.
You did that very well. Yeah.
Storyhorsetheater.org has the tickets. But it is, I think, it engages the audience's imagination in a way. It's not, they don't have to look at the screen. They listen to the words and imagine, use their imagination.
But that said, I am spending my time doing that because I do think it is an element that is elevates it somewhat from just sitting around reading scripts, you know?
It's not a casual event.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll go out and I'll film a live video to create a backing that feels like you're really in the place, for example. Mm-hmm. Or I'll curate an image that has sort of maybe more of a metaphoric or poetic counterpoint to what's being read in the story. And so it just becomes a sort of another counterpuntal aspect to the story.
So is this the real work for the two of you in the sense of that you do other things so that you can do this?
Yes.
I mean, we have four kids, so that's our real work, probably.
Sure.
But
it's all connected.
Well, that's the important
work. Yeah, but it's
all part of
you
the
know,
same.
I think when we moved... we've been living in the Hudson Valley for, we realize, like 12 years.
Yeah. We're newcomers. 12 years.
Yeah,
12
right.
years.
Yeah.
Almost
I've
13.
I've got three generations in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
That's right.
You're official.
Yeah. So I think we're very aware of the community of people here and wanting to be a part of that. And this work always feels the most rewarding to me.
And reflect a little bit of what we see in here that is so incredibly special about the Hudson Valley. You know, it's not like other places, and we celebrate that.
That's something you said, Jeremy, that struck me, and I just thought of, as you said it, it popped in my mind, so this is not a fully formed question, but when you were talking about the cold case and the piece that you did and having a non-traditional audience come in of people that are invested and want to know more about that particular story, it seems like that almost puts an obligation on what you do next, of thinking of how you're going to...
Yeah.
Oh, well, what can we forward now? What can we look at and say, we have this platform, we have these wonderful actors. What can we do next?
Yeah, it is that way. And
there is a next story.
There's a few that we're trying to develop, the other thing is, by doing it in this form, someone came for that cold case, for instance. We did it 3 times. We did it a Friday night, a Saturday night, and a Sunday afternoon. Saturday night, someone came to that performance with a new piece of information about the case that no one had known.
Wow.
And we were able we changed the ending on Sunday. I recorded her on Sunday morning. We added these visual elements, and we changed the ending because of it. So there, that's a conversation.
Yeah.
That is the audience bringing something directly to us that, and because we do it in this concert format, we're able to change things if we need to. And I like the fluidity of that. I like that it's alive. I like that the stories are alive in the moment.
You can change it on a dime if you want to.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's right. It also gives a vibrancy and vitality to the work.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
But
it is, because we don't rehearse them too much. We workshop them and have a sense whether the structure of the story is working enough. It's alive. You roll the dice and see what's going to happen, and the actors are a part of that. And yeah,
in the moments that we have left, these three, the Call of Sasquatch, the Weight, and Inner Shoes. So, can they be very disparate, or do you feel that they have to have some sort of tonal equality in some way?
Well, the other shows that we've done have been stories unto themselves, and in some cases, pardon me, in some cases it was the play and followed by a very doctor heavy panel, right? Talk back. In some cases it was just a full length story unto itself. This is the first time we're putting three separate stories together, and though they are very disparate on the face of it, they are actually all three very thematically connected. I feel like the thing that connects them all is that all of the protagonists have this kind of wonder about them and a sense of faith, maybe with the small f, but faith in love and faith in a search for connection. In some cases, it's and they're all stories that have to do with identity. So one deals with gender identity, one with a sense of spiritual identity, and one more in terms of a national identity.
But they can stand alone. We try to. I think the design elements will hold them all together as an evening, and we'll find out.
There's two pieces in the first act, and then an intermission, and then the second act is one story.
The Face of It is a series of 3 one-act plays being presented by Storyhorse Documentary Theater, written by Jeremy Davidson, directed by Mary Stuart Masterson, and you can find out more information, as Mary Stuart Masterson just mentioned, StoryhorseTheater.org, StoryhorseTheater.org. We also have that link on our website, along with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. It's all being performed at Hudson Hall, November 9th through the 11th. Jeremy, Mary Stuart Masterson, thank you so much for being with us.
What a
great pleasure to have you on the program.
Likewise.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to have you, and thank you for the great work you're doing.
Thank you.
Beautiful. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.